What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
This is Jeff T from the Club 520 podcast. When it comes to your feet, eBay's got your back. When you see the blue check mark that says authenticity guaranteed, that means real experts are checking your sneakers. Every stitch, down to the sole. They even smell them because nothing says fresh like the scent of real kicks. So kick back and relax. From the drop to your doorstep, eBay doesn't play games with your sneaker game. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal with eBay authenticity guaranteed. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Thanks for listening to the Best of the Herd podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday on Fox Sports Radio at noon to 3 Eastern, 9 a.m. to noon Pacific. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Fox Sports Radio or FSR.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, here we go on a very, very interesting Tuesday, live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening. Lots of choices. Thanks for making us part of your day. Well, 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 Jason McIntyre, the PGA Tour lecturing their golfers about morals and values has now officially merged with the Saudi Arabian-backed LIV Tour.
I think this is the first time we're opening the show with golf since I joined in August. Love it. Exciting story.
It is. Yes, yes, yes. You know, you ever notice the only people that have morals in the world are those who have never been offered really cool stuff? Yes, yes, yes. When you spend time lecturing others on morals and values and why they do things for money, be very, very careful. Somebody may once in your life, though I doubt it, offer you cool stuff, big money, opportunity. I backed Phil Mickelson, Dustin Johnson, Brooks Koepka. I don't feel great about Saudi money, but our government's been in bed with them forever. So is the English Premier League, UK's version of the NFL, their big sport. Listen, in this country, I vote for political candidates that I disagree on many policies. It's the best option. It's the reality that Saudi money has been involved with sports and golf forever. You go live in your provincial world. You lecture everybody else on your idealism. The media continues to be preachy and lecture, and shame on the PGA Tour, who lectured Phil Mickelson and Greg Norman and Brooks Koepka and all those golfers, Dustin Johnson, about their personal values and their morals. And then somebody offered the PGA deal, a deal that would keep their stars in their pockets. So now LIV golfers and PGA golfers are conjoined. It ain't the 70s. For the record, I don't love everything about every owner in our professional leagues. What you gonna do? It's a global sport. All of them are. Look at the last five NBA MVPs. That's the world we live in. Not everybody's Mr. Rogers. I can be disgusted with elements of a political candidate, of who's backing my leagues, and understand it's about the money. It's always about the money. It's about television. I got into this business years ago. I knew very early, it's about the Benjamins. Okay, that's why I don't preach. That's why I don't lecture on this stuff. I don't have to agree with everything, but once Brooks Koepka won the PGA Championship, translation, the PGA said, we got to get our stars back, translation, we got to get our top draws back, translation, we got to get our money back. Scottie Scheffler's a great golfer, but 90% of golf fans are casuals. They're casuals. People have lives and kids, and your son's got a little league game, and your daughter's got a recital, and your wife needs you to help. You can't sit around all day in PGAtour.com. So you watch the big stars. If Tom Cruise was only available tomorrow on an app or a streaming service, just one, that's where I would go to watch Mission Impossible 13. I'd go to the app. I'd go to the streaming service, regardless of who owned it. I wouldn't have to love who owned it, but I'm not going to sit up here and preach and be a hypocrite when somebody eventually offers me money. I said from the very beginning, I would struggle to take the money from the LIV Golf Tour. But if it became $200 and $300 million, you don't think I'm going to sit down with my wife? I'm not going to have a glass of vino and discuss it? Oh, give me a break. The PGA Tour got into the lecture business, the moral business, the values business. Give me a break. In the end, they want their stars back. Listen, I turn on a television, I watch Brooks Koepka. I love Greg Norman. I love Jack Nicholson. Tiger Woods doesn't play enough. Golf lost its golden goose. They got to get their draw back. I love Jordan Spieth. He doesn't get me to a television. I love a lot of actors. They don't get me into a theater. So I say this. The only people that are only right on the internet are anonymous. Isn't that a coincidence? They're always right. And the only people with morals and values in the world are never offered big money or enormous opportunities. I don't have to love the LIV Golf Tour and everything it stands for. By the way, I was offered six figures to do some reads for the LIV Golf Tour. I didn't accept it. But, I didn't badmouth other hosts that did. That's the difference. I was offered six figures to do stuff with LIV Golf. I was invited to tournaments. I said, no, thank you. But I didn't lecture sportscasters that did. I didn't lecture anybody that did. I'm not in their shoes. I don't pay their taxes. I don't have their life. I don't know what's going on. Stop lecturing politicians, golf tours. Stop lecturing us. When people get great opportunities, I'm not in your shoes. I don't know what it means to your family. Maybe get your kids to college. I don't know. You don't know. Years ago, I had a boss, Mike Cutler. He was a news director. And we were talking about something, and I was getting real preachy and being a young, you know, journalist. And he said, what's your favorite candy bar? And I said, Kit Kat. He goes, do you like Three Musketeers? And I'm like, yeah, it just never worked for me. He goes, what if I told you the guy that created Kit Kat's the worst human being in the world? Would you stop eating it? Oh, you know, I'd probably eat it. He goes, there you go. You think you know, and you don't know. I remember listening to all the people preaching about Tiger Woods' lifestyle choices. I didn't like what he did with his marriage. I totally disagree with it. But it's just what you knew. It's the golf marriage you heard about. Stop pretending you know. I don't have to love every candidate I vote for or every owner of every team. But when people start preaching morals and values, I want to barf. Good. This is a win for fans. I want to watch Brooks Koepka. I want to see him in a tournament next week. If you told me 7 days from now I get Brooks Koepka, Dustin Johnson, Phil Mickelson, Rory McIlroy, whoever, 10 days from now in a great golf course, Pebble Beach, they all line up, PGA Live, have a big tour. You know who's watching? I'm watching. I'm watching. And I don't have to love everything about Saudi Arabia, but they've been involved in this country and in global sports forever. If you don't want to ever watch golf again, I get it. I get it. I'm not telling you you're wrong. But don't tell golfers when our government's in bed with Saudi Arabia. Don't tell individual golfers they can't accept $200 million to hit a golf ball. By the way, golf was the last entertainment entity in America that didn't understand a basic context. Basic context. We watch all this stuff for stars. We watch for Beyonce. We watch for Tom Cruise and Denzel. That's what we watch for. Even college basketball and football have figured it out with the NIL. You got to pay the quarterback, the shooting guard. You got to pay him seven figures in college. Forever College and the NCAA stood their moral high ground. Oh, yeah, yeah, forever. You got all these kids in college football running around, ending their football careers at 19 years old. You're not going to pay them? For years and years, I watched the NCAA. And by the way, I was doing it 20 years ago, too. I got into my preachy self. You can't pay the kids. What about the education? Then I came to terms with it. Get over myself. Pay the players. Pay the kids. And especially pay the quarterback in college football or the star guard in college basketball. Again, if you're disgusted with this today, I'm not telling you you shouldn't be. But when I listened to the PGA 6 months ago, lawsuits, morals, values, stop it. The bottom line, you signed up for this today. You want to know why? Money. The same reason your Phils and your Brooks and your Dustins, $200 million. You wouldn't sit down and think about it. You're kidding yourself. You're kidding a lot of people, and the PGA was. I'm off my soapbox. There you go. I don't have a second story. That's all I want to talk about.
That's a damn good rant to open the show, Cowherd.
Yeah,
by the way, hey, you could always kick those six-figure reads right over here. I got no problem reading Live Golf.
Send them my way, big guy. I wasn't offended. I said I appreciate the offer. It was okay.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say what company offered it to me,
yeah.
Nor what radio or TV business it was for. I turned it down. That was my decision. Had they offered me $10 million, I wouldn't have probably turned it down. They offered me less than that, yeah. And I thought at this time in my life, I don't need it. I'm not going to do it. But at the same time I did that, the very next day I went on this network and said, I defend Phil and Brooks and Greg Norman's right to pursue money from the same entity that has funded sports globally everywhere and been in business with our government forever.
8 decades. I just looked it up.
Eight decades. I bet if you went back, I don't know this for sure. If you went back in golf's history, I bet you 20, 30 years ago, there was some oil money in golf for appearances, course design, consulting. I mean, I don't know. I don't know the history of golf well enough, but 25 years ago, do I believe some of the great legends of golf maybe had flown to the Middle East to do a speaking engagement for $1 million for an hour speech? I'm going to say maybe that's possible.
You think the high and mighty crowd looks to where their jeans are made or where their iPhones made?
Or sports shoes are made?
I think we're in a full agreement on this story, and we have been the whole time.
Maybe not in the Jets' future, but
what happened to the Jets now? Come on. Jeez.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
The 82-game preseason is in the books. It's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. The code is HERD. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. $200. That's code HERD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, Enter the Kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
So Eric Spoelstra, nice guy, great coach, got real upset when Ramona Shelburne, very legitimate reporter, very legitimate. I know Ramona, lean on her a lot, always trust her sources. She asked a question, and Eric Spoelstra bizarrely got really ticked off.
This is probably oversimplifying things, but sometimes when teams play against Jokic, you turn him into a scorer, you turn him into a passer, and he controls the game. He only had 4 assists tonight.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. You know, it's just, that's the untrained eye that says something like that. This guy's an incredible player. You know, twice in 2 seasons, he's been the best player on this planet. You can't just say, oh, make him a scorer. We have to focus on what we do. You know, we try to do things the hard way, and he requires you to do many things the hard way. He has our full respect.
The untrained eye of making Jokic more of a scorer. You mean like the untrained eye of Steve Kerr, who said this on Draymond Green's podcast?
To me, it was like, I haven't talk to Spo or anything like that, but I can see them in their coaches' meetings saying Murray's the head of the snake, you know, not Jokic. Like, mm-hmm. When you play a team, you sort of realize, wait a second, like that guy's going to dominate no matter what we do. So we got, this is the head of the snake. And I think they just decided Murray's the guy we got to stop. So you start Love, you put Jimmy Butler on Murray, and then you saw like they were blitzing Murray quite a bit and really trying everything to take him out of the game.
The untrained eye of Steve Kerr. It's not that complicated. The Nuggets are 0-3 in the playoffs when Jokic has 40 or more points. The perfect Jokic game is 24-13. That's when he's at his best. Ball movement, spacing, finding guys open. A little bit of Arvydas Sabonis, Bill Walton. The truth, the untrained NBA eye is fanboy on the interweb thinking my team is always better when my star scores the most points. Michael Jordan once had a 63-point playoff game, his best. He lost. 3 of the top 4 scorers in the NBA didn't make the playoffs. Michael Jordan had 5 career games over 60 points. He won 2 of them. The untrained eye thinks, just get my star the ball and let him score 58. That's not good basketball. That's why I never bought into James Harden. 4 guys standing around watching him dribble the air out of the ball and score 44 points. It's not sustainable. It's not good basketball. Jokic is about many things. The size, the angles, the bodies, the length, the passing, the scoring. When you turn him into just kind of a scorer, you take away all the periphery scoring, they're not as good a basketball team. I think Spo got frustrated because kind of like that's what happened and everybody saw it and it's not that untrained. When I hear untrained NBA fanboys say, oh, I love when, you know, the late Kobe Bryant had 60. Any Laker fan would tell you the more Kobe scored, the more Kobe shot, the more the other 4 guys stood around and weren't involved. The Nuggets, the one way that is effective to defend them, and it's not easy, is take out Jamal Murray. Because Jokic overwhelmingly relies on 2s. And in this era of basketball, if Tyler Hero could come back, the Miami Heat would have another 3-ball shooter.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
So I said this earlier, I would love the Bills to go get DeAndre Hopkins, another weapon for Josh Allen. The last time they went big on a weapon, Stephon Diggs, Josh Allen had his best completion percentage, his most touchdown passes, and his highest passer rating. But I see here the Bills signed Leonard Floyd, another defensive lineman.
That's after signing Puna Ford, a defensive tackle, and Ed Oliver, a defensive tackle, to an expensive deal. Three new defensive linemen salaries, and they still can't get their O-line right. When's the last time you thought about Buffalo? You know, they just, that defense is always letting them down. Three of the last four seasons, the Bills have had a top two scoring defense in the league. In fact, since Josh Allen has arrived, the Buffalo Bills have the number one total defense in the league. I'd love to see them get D-Hop so you don't double Stephon Diggs. Gabriel Davis disappeared. They moved off Cole Beasley. I did like them getting a tight end, but a rookie tight end can't be that much of a game changer. This is what I say. They can't fix their own line. Either can Pittsburgh. What do they have in common? A defensive coach. Do you know the four teams in the league that lead the NFL in spending money on their defensive side? Chargers, Bills, Seahawks, Steelers. All four defensive coaches. Last 5 years, they're 6-12 in the playoffs. 8 years, they've missed the playoffs completely. For the record, Kansas City a couple years ago scored 42 on that great Sean McDermott defense. So when I put my NFL Super Bowl teams in the bubble, there's a reason. It's mostly offensive coaches. A San Francisco, a Philadelphia, a Cincinnati, a Kansas City. I mean, we don't think Tua is a great quarterback, right? Like, he's hurt a lot, he's small, he's not super athletic. That division has three defensive coaches and one offensive coach. And Tua is 7-4 against the division, never lost to Belichick, 4-0. So the one time the Buffalo Bills really spent money on offense, Stephon Diggs. I went and looked at the numbers this morning. The following year, Josh Allen had 107 passer rating, the most touchdown passes, and completed 69%. Let's sign another defensive lineman. Steelers, Seahawks, Chargers, Bills. I mean, it's. I've said this. I watched that Cincinnati game. They can't get the O-line right. And you're signing three defensive linemen? I mean, I like Ed Oliver. I like him. I like Leonard Floyd. How about get a guard, a tackle? Go ahead.
Buffalo lost in the playoffs to the Bengals 27-10.
Mm-hmm. One game.
Cincinnati rushed for 172 yards in that game. The year before in the playoffs, Bills lose to the Chiefs. I remember 42-36, incredible game. Did you know the Chiefs rushed for 182 yards? Buffalo cannot stop a nosebleed in the playoffs when they need to. Their defensive line just gets dump trucked all day
long. They've spent a lot
of
draft capital on that D-line. Here's another number from that Bengals game. Stephon Diggs, how did he do?
Well, let's see here.
Because you get doubled. He got doubled.
4 for 35.
35 yards, Stephon Diggs.
Yeah, he did.
That's
have 10
what
targets.
Happens.
Josh Allen, maybe a little
Or maybe when he's the only guy out there and you don't have time to throw because there's a pass rush and you haven't solved the offensive line. The fact that Stephon Diggs in a playoff game would have 35 yards.
Somebody named Khalil Shaker had 40 yards receiving.
You think Sean McVay or Kyle Shanahan or Zach Taylor would have gotten the ball to Stephon Diggs a little more often?
Probably. Yeah.
Say what you want about Cincinnati. They have tried for 2 years in a row. First thing, not fix the D-line. Fix the O-line. Say what you want. Kansas City, Andy Reid, rebuilt an O-line in one season. Tomlin's had 5 years at it. Can't fix it. McDermott, 4 or 5 years at it. Can't fix it. Where are you spending your money? Top four teams spending money. All defense, defensive coaches. All the top four defensive priority teams, defensive coaches. That's why I worried when Justin Fields got a defensive coach. I got nothing against Matt Eberflus. I think he's a smart guy. He had a 10-game losing streak. Offensive line's a mess. I mean, that's my big concern about Justin Fields. A huge, if he had Andy Reid, he'd be fine. McVay, fine. Shanahan, fine. Zach Taylor, fine. I worry. Defensive coach.
Maybe we need Robert Saleh to buck that trend this year. Defensive coach. Get to the Super Bowl. How about that? Damn time.
Okay.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm like that. See that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So this is kind of interesting. According to Paul Gutierrez, who's the Raiders beat writer for ESPN, there remains a possibility that Jimmy Garoppolo, never plays for the Raiders due to his foot injury. This could be the least controversial, most understood, easiest tank in league history. I know, Raider fans, you think you can win the division. You can't. Zero chance. Not happening. Even if you have a good year, rather go 10-7, just miss the playoffs, or make them and get roasted with no future quarterback, none, or 3-14 and get Caleb Williams at USC. In the better AFC and maybe the best division in football with a very weak defensive roster and a superstar receiver that's pretty unhappy, if Jimmy G can't play, you are 3-14. Nothing against Brian Hoyer. He has not started and won a game since 2016. Hasn't won a game he started since 2016. So he could play his butt off and play well. Maybe he goes 4-13. So the question becomes for the Raiders, have they stumbled into quite possibly the greatest break in 25 years in Raiders history? I mean, if you go look at the Raiders schedule this morning, it is a litany of top quarterbacks, top coaches, and tough road games. At Denver, at Buffalo is 0-2 with Garoppolo. Here come the Steelers at the Chargers. Then you have Green Bay and New England, pretty good coaches. You get Chicago, but you got to go there. You get Detroit, you could beat them, but you got to go there. Jared Goff's been great at home. Maybe it's that giant game week 9, Jets week 10. You tell me, outside of the Colts game at Indy, and we don't really know on the road if the Raiders would be a favorite, that's a game you'd be a favorite in. Maybe. So I look at this schedule, and sometimes you stumble into great. We talked about this yesterday. The Philadelphia Eagles were ready to move on from Jalen Hurts for Russell Wilson, and Russell Wilson turned them down in Philadelphia. And then Jalen Hurts exploded and became the MVP candidate and the Super Bowl star that he's become. They stumbled into that. They stumbled into their Nick Foles championship. So this could be, if Jimmy Garoppolo can't play in the AFC, 3-14. I mean, in the NFC, Arizona could be bad. You could stumble into 5 wins in the NFC. You're not stumbling into 5-6 wins in the AFC. Here's another thing. I was thinking about this. Denver, and you hear this a lot, that the media doesn't respect us, the media doesn't give us attention. And so a lot is, one of the cool things about the NBA is the last 5 MVPs are all foreign-born players, and Luke is probably the next in line. And then here comes Victor Wembanyama. He's the next great star. So the game's very, very global. But sometimes baseball's global, hockey's global, basketball's global, football's not. Sometimes the NFL is easier to recognize younger players because they played at Ohio State. You watched them 3 years against Michigan. They were on TV on Saturday. Then they're on TV on Sunday. Very linear, very easy to follow. Sometimes with international players, we didn't watch them in high school. We didn't watch them in college. They go to a bad team, 3 years in the league. I mean, I didn't really follow Giannis until like year 3 and 4. And so here you have Jokic, a second round, nonverbal, doesn't want any attention, playing in the Rocky Mountains, who doesn't really score like other great players in the league. He's not an attention draw. He's not a TV draw. He's just a great player. And my takeaway is nobody has anything against Denver, but I don't think Denver's ever going to be wildly popular in the NBA. The Spurs never were. Is that this game is global. And you watch Reggie Bush at USC, then he's on your TV on Sunday, or you watch Tim Tebow or Peyton Manning. Football's entirely domestic. As our leagues get more international, sometimes it takes us a while to embrace or follow or understand or love players that we don't watch play our college sports. So, I didn't watch Jokic for the first 2-3 years in Denver. It's just the last couple, and he's a remarkable player. But, you know, he's 12th in jersey sales. He's behind LaMelo Ball. And he's a 2-time MVP and should have won 3 straight. And so, second round, Rocky Mountain, doesn't talk, no titles. I don't think it's a lack of respect. I think Denver could win this year, next year, and the following year, and could win 3 titles. I don't ever think they'll be a massive TV draw, but I do find them compelling. I like their story. I like their coach. I like their players, and I'm rooting for them. Nothing against Miami, but I've seen Miami win before. I saw them win with Shaq. I saw them win a couple with LeBron. I've seen Miami win before. Been a long time for Denver. So, but I don't think anybody has anything against Tim Duncan and the Spurs. It just wasn't that compelling. It was more about Popovich and his culture. I mean, what was Tim Duncan's nickname? The Big Fundamental. Nobody called Shaq the Big Fundamental. Michael Jordan was good fundamentally. That wasn't his nickname. So I think there's this feeling out there that nobody respects. They don't have any titles. Nobody respects Denver. We just don't know much about Denver. We really don't. Last 2 years is when we really started following them. And there's a lot of good young teams that we're just not quite sure if they can. I mean, I've been told for 3 or 4 years the Celtics are going to be great. They didn't even get to the finals this year. So, what do you want me to do with that? So when I hear this constant and nobody respects Denver, I think people respect Denver. But we don't know much about Denver. Their star is a second round guy who's not known as a prolific scorer. He's a very unique player where he's a better passer often than a scorer. Most of the players that we fell in love with had a lot of flash to their game. Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan, LeBron James, Larry Bird. I fell in love with basketball, Dr. J. There was a certain quality to them, an aesthetic, an optic. They were dynamic. It was flair. That's not his game. It's just not his game. It wasn't Tim Duncan's game. I mean, Duncan's one of the best players I've ever watched. He's not in my top 20 on guys I'd want to watch. That's okay. I got nothing against him. Not everybody's fat. Listen, Jeremy Irons is a great actor. I'd rather watch Tom Cruise. I'd rather watch Jamie Foxx, Denzel Washington, Michael Keaton. Yeah, I know Jeremy Irons is supposed to be the world's best actor. He didn't get me to a theater. What am I going to say?
You know, it's weird. I just went to see if you follow me yet on Instagram. You don't. But then I went to see if you follow Nikola Jokic. And that's impossible because he doesn't even have an account. And I know that sounds silly, but LaMelo Ball, that's a great point you made up, because if LaMelo Ball were in the finals, I guarantee you there'd be a lot more buzz, a lot of the young kids who are into LaMelo Ball and followed his career, him and his dad and Lonzo. And there would be a lot of juice for it. None of that exists. Jokic is not like a social media guy at all.
And also, centers don't sell shoes like guards do. Kobe sold shoes, and Michael and Steph. But generally, centers don't sell the shoes. He doesn't embrace social media. He's kind of a nonverbal, like Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi Leonard's nonverbal.
But I don't know about that tag. Do you think playing in Denver is holding him back? If he were in South Beach, I don't know that it would matter.
No, but I would say Denver's known as Broncos territory. And so it's not a we don't look at Denver as like a basketball-driven city. That's not the, I mean, I grew up with the Nuggets. They were fun to watch. But there are, like, when I think of Boston, I honestly think of the Celtics before the Patriots. I think because I grew up with I think it's a Celtics town. Los Angeles, I think it's a Laker town.
What about Dirk Nowitzki took Dallas to the finals?
I think it's a Cowboy town.
Exactly, yeah. There are some cities that are
I mean, I think Atlanta is an SEC town. What's I think Milwaukee? It's a college football town.
Is Milwaukee Giannis or college
Milwaukee
or the Bucks?
Is the Packers and the Badgers.
Packers, right.
Yeah, I mean, so I think Denver is but I guess my whole point is he's just like a nonverbal guy. He doesn't seek attention. I think he's going to play in Denver. Often foreign-born players have a real sense of loyalty to the team that brings them over. You've turned Giannis very early. This is where I want to be.
Well, I'm going to put a pause on that because we'll see with Luka Doncic. He might be the first foreign guy who's like, listen, I'm a superstar. I'm out of here. You guys keep screwing it up. And I would hope he does if Mark Cuban can't figure it out for him.
You know, when I look at Denver, I have much respect for them, but I don't think they'll ever be a catalyst for TV ratings.
That's okay. And they could be some, I don't know about a dynasty, but we'll see. Boston did get back to the finals.
Let me tell you something. The best thing that could happen to college football is the Texas Longhorns and USC get great. Those are glamour programs. Yeah. Bama's great. They're not a glamour program.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Alan Shipnuck, his last book was Phil, the rip-roaring, unauthorized biography of golf's most colorful superstar, which was I gobbled that thing up in about 6 hours. He was writing another book, Live and Let Die, the inside story of the war between the PGA Tour and LIV Golf. He may have to rewrite the last chapter. So I don't mean to laugh, but it's like, wow. So, Alan, you're an expert on this stuff. Why did the news come out today?
Today of all days, it's hard to pinpoint, but there's been a lot of things happening in the background, including the Department of Justice has ramped up its investigation of potential antitrust violations by the PGA Tour. They're serious. They come and they take your phone and they download everything you've ever typed or thought. And they were doing that to players, agents, executives. There was a simultaneous lawsuit that's been grinding on, and that was at the Ninth Circuit Court. And the Public Investment Fund was potentially going to have to open up its books. It's a very secretive, shadowy organization. Neither side wanted this kind of scrutiny.
Right.
At the same time, you had LIV Golf put a huge charge into the Masters. Those are the best final round ratings in years.
Yeah.
Brooks Koepka won the PGA Championship. The landscape was shifting rapidly. And I think, the PGA Tour was losing sponsors. Honda pulled out, AT&T pulled out of the Byron Nelson. And both sides were basically on this, to use an old Cold War term, mutually assured destruction. The PGA Tour was running out of money. They were squeezing their sponsors and the sponsors were pushing back. LIV had put an incredible amount into launching, but their TV ratings on the CW were abysmal. And I think they were realizing there was a limit to their audience.
Yep.
And so it just, at some point it made sense to put the game back together. And a guy named Jimmy Dunn has been instrumental in all this. He's on the policy board of the PGA Tour, and he's kind of this ultimate insider. He's a member at every club you can think of. And he did not have the baggage of Jay Monahan, who had been, demonizing the Saudi leadership. And so Jimmy Dunn was talking behind the scenes with Yasir Al-Rumayyan, the guy who runs the Public Investment Fund, and who LIV has been his baby all along. And they very quickly hammered something out. So it's you can't emphasize how secretive this process has been. I mean, Greg Norman didn't know about it until this morning. Wow. Rory McIlroy, Tiger Woods, they all got phone calls this morning saying, hey, this is happening. And it's real stagecraft and brinksmanship that made this happen. And of course, there's many details that still need to be worked out, but it's a monumental moment for professional golf. And this was already The rise of LIV is the biggest golf story this decade, not involving Tiger Woods, and maybe this century. And it just keeps going. I mean, it's a stunning conclusion. But you know, the war is over. But now they have to win the peace. And there's so much to figure out. And there's so many winners and losers in this. And it's going to be a fascinating process in the coming months as they try and put the game back together.
Alan Chipnook, great writer. He's a partner in the Fire Pit Collective, a golf media company. I didn't like the sanctimony of it. My takeaway was, and I said this top of the show, is when anybody goes into the morals and values, I'm like, listen, you don't know who these leagues are in business with. If you go deep into the billionaire pockets of professional sports owners in the English Premier League or in the NFL, there's a lot of stuff. To your point, they don't want the books open. You know, baseball owners haven't wanted those books opened forever. Do you think the PGA Tour regrets a little bit of their sanctimony and a little bit of their preachiness today?
Yeah, the tour, some of the talent on the Golf Channel, many of the players, an army of trolls on Twitter. It was always hollow, right? I mean, the European PGA Tour would have gone out of business a long time ago if it was not hosting its biggest money events in Saudi Arabia, Qatar, United Arab Emirates, Turkey, China.
Yep.
That tour has stayed in business in these playing in these places with autocratic governments. And it's always been a factor in the sports world. I mean, you mentioned the EPL. I mean, half of those teams in the English Premier League are now owned by Saudi Arabia or yep. other Middle Eastern interests. And so it always felt a little hollow and a little sanctimonious. Now, it's certainly okay to have qualms and questions about where the money is coming from as an individual, as a citizen. But institutionally, I mean, the tour's biggest sponsors, Coca-Cola, FedEx, Morgan Stanley, they all do business in Saudi Arabia. They have for a long time.
Right.
So the lines got very blurry. And I think that was part of what Jay Monahan realized. Is it, you know, his messaging has been muddled all along, the PGA Tour commissioner. At first, it was legacy, not leverage. You know, the PGA Tour, his history is so rich. This is all that matters. Stay here and play our tournaments. All the players took the LIV money. Then it was like, okay, you've never had to apologize for being a PGA Tour member. You know, he tried the morality. Guys still left. You know, the only way he was able to keep his stars was with money. They went to these elevated events. They reshaped the schedule. They put in the slush fund, the player impact program. Money always wins. And, you know, that's really one of the headlines from today. And so the tour, they tried. They trotted out every argument they could. And ultimately, they just realized, you know what? We can't beat these guys dollar for dollar. So let's just join them.
And, yeah.
So for the sanctimonious and the finger waggers, it's a tough day. I mean, there's still some, you know, there's plenty of golf fans who feel betrayed, who, you know, they've, and it's part of modern life, right? There's very little nuance. You have to pick a side and you have to defend it to the death. And so you're either pro tour or pro live. And that was it. And I tried to always stay in the middle and I was getting shrapnel from both sides. Like it's, you really had to pick a side. And so the players who are the fans or the stakeholders who, you know, like the PGA Tour and wanted to stay loyal to the PGA Tour, they had to buy into this moralistic argument, but it never quite held up. And today has made that plain.
Yeah, I think, as you said, it was a hollow argument. I think your point about the European tour, I did not know that. That's a satient point, as usual. He's a great golf writer, a partner in the Fire Pit Collective. Check it out, a golf media company. He's got a new book, Live and Let Die, the inside story of the war between the PGA Tour and LIV Golf. I've only got 2 minutes left. How much of this do you have to rewrite the last chapter or something? I'm seriously.
I didn't oh, yeah.
Yeah, you do?
Yeah, no. I mean, it's been a funny subtext all this. I turned the book in Sunday night at 2 a.m. Like, I've been working on it for a year. I was bleeding on the keyboard. It has been such an effort to get this book done. But there's always some jitters because even though the book comes out on Halloween, which is a short lead time for a book these days, always knowing things could change. And the whole last chapter, I was peering into the crystal ball, predicting this merger, what it would look like, how it would play out. And so I'm actually happy there's a resolution. Instead of guessing, I can write authoritatively. I'll figure out what happened behind the scenes and bring it all to life. And it's a perfect exclamation point on a very demanding project, but also this crazy moment in golf history. The last year has been bonkers. And so this just takes to a whole new level.
Alan, what a pleasure. You made time for us. One of the premier golf writers on the planet. Alan, your work is great. And his book, The Rip Roaring and Unauthorized Biography of Golf's Most Colorful Superstar, Phil Mickelson may not like it. It is a fast, funny, informative read. I went through it on a quick plane flight. I devoured it. It's a great, fascinating. It made me like Phil Moore. He's totally flawed, aren't we all? But it's fascinating. And Alan, we got to run. Thank you so much.
Okay, thanks for having me.
Our kids have said to us since we moved to Minnesota, we are far more active than we've ever been anywhere else we've ever lived.
Moving to Minnesota opened up a lot of doors for us.
Just this overall sense of community, of values that, you know, Minnesotans have.
It's a real accepting, loving community, especially with two young kids.
See what makes Minnesota the Star of the North. New residents share why they love calling it home at exploreminnesota.com/live.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.
With the new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful finger sticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch, so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.